This day, the Bible says that the disciples are astounded. They are astonished. They look around at one another, Brother Malone, and they voice the question, which is the title of our message this morning. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? I want to ask you that same question and use it to preach on this thought. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this morning, the type of man that can calm a troubled sea? This is the man who can speak peace to a broken heart. This is the man who can heal the blinded eyes. What type of man is this? He is a man like no other man. There has never been a man like this man. He was 100% man, but yet he was 100% God Almighty. He walked upon this earth, the Bible says, for 33 long years, and he never sinned. He lived a perfect life each and every day. He could not sin, church, even if he wanted to. At the very mention of this name, Jesus, all of hell trembled and earth and heaven stood still. What type of man is this morning that can cause such a reaction? Everywhere he went, he drew a crowd. Everybody wanted to get a glimpse of this man called Jesus. Everybody wanted to touch this man named Jesus. Down through the years, many have been beaten for this man. Others have even paid the ultimate sacrifice of their lives for this man, Jesus. What manner of man is this morning, that causes such a reaction? I want you to notice some things about him this morning, and I want to show you exactly why he causes such a reaction that he does in the lives of mankind. I'm preaching on the thought, what manner of man is this? Jesus has always been a man that has been surrounded by controversy. Huh? The disciples beheld his power firsthand and were forced to ask that question, what manner of man is this? I don't know about you, but I have experienced him at work in my lives, as many of you have. And I'm still asking myself the question this morning, what manner of man is this that can will in my life the way he does? All of those who know him never ever cease to be amazed by him. And those that do not know him will never have that hope to understand him or his power. However, I want to try this morning to shed a little light on what kind of man Jesus is. And allow me this morning, if you will, to share four thoughts with you that will go a long way in answering that question, what manner of man is this? In Mark chapter 4, and our verse is number 39, we just read. Point number one is that we find that Jesus is still the stiller of storms. Say amen if you can. Regardless of their source. You know, storms tend to manifest themselves in many ways in our lives. There are storms that some people believe are satanic in origin. There are storms that are physical, and there are storms that are emotional. There are physical storms and financial storms and thousands of other storms that are too numerous to mention. But yet, regardless of the source of the storm this morning, there is one who can still say, peace be still. Jesus is the stiller of storms, regardless of the source of those storms that may rage on in your life. He said in Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6, he said, I am God and there is none else. Huh? When you, God, can say that there is none else, we know assuredly in our hearts that you can still the storms in our lives. Regardless of the force of those storms. You know, sometimes the storms of life are mild. And then at other times, these storms can nearly rip our lives apart. But regardless of the intensity of the storms that we face in our lives, let me remind us of two things. First of all, We will never, ever face a storm alone. Say amen if you can. We will never face a storm alone. For the Hebrew writer says in Hebrew 13, in the verses number 5, the Lord said, I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. Secondly, we have a God who is greater than anything that you and I will ever face. And he's our helper. In the days when the howling storm and the breeze go rages on in our lives. For he says in Hebrew 13 in verse number 6, he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Notice, if you will, this morning, God's plan for handling the storms of life. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4, 6 through 7. The Bible reminds us to be what? Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto who? Unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Regardless this morning of the course of the storm, no matter what the outcome may be, or regardless what lies in the path of the storm, God will still use it in your life for his glory and for your good. Romans 8, in the verse is 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you don't believe me this morning, just take a minute and look at the servant Job. You remember Job, don't you? Job weathered that storm, lost all he had, but yet Job weathered that storm, sheltered in the arms of God. And while the wind raged all around him, Job found grace to shout the praises of God. Job said in Job chapter 1, beginning at verse number 20 and 21, the Bible says, and then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And the Bible said that Job worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Job said that the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I remember on another occasion when Job said, all of my appointed time, I'll wait until my change comes. You ought to wait till your change comes. One of these days, our change is going to come. God can and still do the same thing for you. What manner of man is this? He is the stiller of storms. But not only this morning, Northwest, is he the stiller of storms, but the Bible said that he is the saver of souls. Huh? The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 7, and the verse is 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Y'all heard me say sometimes people say from the uttermost to the guttermost. But he's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know this morning that Jesus has the power to purchase. Huh? According to 1 Corinthians 6 in verse number 20, he said that you and I have been what? We have been bought with a price. For ye have been bought with a price, therefore glory God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, I don't think we fully understand the glory of that truth this morning. The Bible has much to say about our redemption, but I would like to share three passages with you this morning that tell the whole tale about what God, what the Lord has done for you and me. In Revelation 5, in the verse is number 9, the Bible says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain, and had redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. In this verse, the word redeem comes from the Greek word aragosol, which means to buy in the marketplace. It carries the idea for that of someone purchasing a slave off the auction block. That is what the Lord did for you and me. Then in Galatians 4 and the verse is number 5. The Bible says to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. In this verse, the word redeems comes from the word ekarsal. This word means to take off the market. It means to buy something for oneself and reserve it for your own use. In other words, it's no longer for sale. And then in 1 Peter 1, and the verse is 18. The Bible says, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. Here, the word redeemed comes from the word lutron. The word means to release after payment of the ransom price. When all of these words are taken together this morning, Northwest, we began to get a clearer picture of what the Lord God Jesus has done for us in redemption. We have been bought with a price. We have been taken off the marketplace. We have been purchased for his use and not for the use of the world. And I want to tell you this morning that not only can the Lord have purchasing power, but the Lord has the power to purify. According to the Bible in Isaiah chapter 1, and the verse is number 18. The Bible says, come now, and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. And then John goes on to say in Revelation 7 and verse number 14, and he said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which come out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you something this morning, Northwest, that the saints of God have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Huh? When we trusted Jesus for salvation, when we were washed whiter than snow on every low-down, dirty thing that we've ever done in our lives or ever will do, these things were washed away forever. Huh? We have been declared righteous by our Heavenly Father. Look what 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11 says. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit what? The kingdom of God. Then it said, and such were some of you, but ye were washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of who? Of our God. Jesus also has the power to preserve. Huh? And thank God that not only can the Lord purchase us, not only can the Lord purify us, but the Lord can also preserve us. And I praise the name of God this morning that he will not lose one of his little ones on the way home to glory one day when we get home. John 6 and verse 37 through 40. The Bible says that all that the Father had given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, for I have come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which have been given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Yes, Jesus is the stiller of storms. Jesus is the saver of souls. And my third point is this, that he, Jesus, is also the satisfier of saints. Huh? Jeremiah 31 in verse number 25 says, for I have saturated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. The word saturate here means to slake the thirst, to saturate, to abundantly satisfy. I want you to know this morning that the Lord does satisfy. He gives us internal satisfaction. Huh? He gives us internal satisfaction. When a sinner comes to Jesus, he finds complete satisfaction. There is internal satisfaction in that the newborn saint is given peace with God. Huh? Romans 5 and verse 1. Gone is that sense of conviction. Gone is that sense of fear. These are replaced with the feeling of calmness and quietness in the soul. No longer does the saint have to feel the need to search and seek to be made right with God. But he knows that these things have been made right. And that is a feeling that cannot be duplicated by anything or anyone else. Huh? But not only does he give internal satisfaction, but the Bible, we find out that he said that he gives external satisfaction as well. Huh? Not only does he satisfy internally, but he also satisfies externally. The psalmist says in Psalm 107, and the verse is number 9. David said, "For he satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." And then he goes on to say in 1 John chapter 2, and the verse is 15. He said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." He said, "If any man love the world, that the love of the Father is not in him." I want to tell you this morning that the newborn saint, child of God, finds that he loses that appetite for the things of the world when they come to know Jesus. Say amen if you can. He soon discovered that nothing pleases the soul like that great thing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The satisfied saint will run after God and not after the world. Huh? This is one of the greatest part of the changes that Jesus makes in our lives. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In the verse is number 17. He said, "Therefore, if any man be what? Be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new." You know, a famous preacher, and you all probably heard this story before, a famous preacher toured New York City. And while he was there in New York, he saw many of the sights, and he looked upon the things of that great city of New York. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a wonderful place to visit and not to live. He saw many wonders and many things that were designed to appeal to the flesh. And when he returned to his hotel, the story goes that he bowed down on his knees and he thanked God for letting him see New York City. But he went on to thank God that even though he saw many wonderful things, he thanked God that he didn't see a thing that he wanted. Amen. That is what satisfaction is all about. Huh? That is what satisfaction is all about. Those who understand satisfaction know that true contentment is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Huh? Jesus also gives eternal satisfaction. Huh? He also gives eternal satisfaction. One of these days, this life as we know it will be over. One of these days. And the saints of God will pass from earth to heaven and will enter into the presence of God. And when that day comes, Northwest, we will know the meaning of satisfaction perfectly. Huh? Notice what David said about that day in Psalm 17 and the verse is 15. He said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness." And then he goes on to say in Psalm 16 and verse 11, he said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." In heaven, Northwest, we will experience satisfaction. Huh? Gone would be the trials and the storms of life. Gone would be the tears and struggles of sin of this old flesh. Heaven will open up with all of his beauty and splendor, and we will enter into the presence of God, and we will see firsthand what true satisfaction is all about. When we get there, when God will wipe all tears from our eyes, where there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. there should be no more pain. Yes, he's the stiller of storms. He is the saver of souls, and he is the satisfier of saints. Oh, what manner of man is this? And my last point this morning is that Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. Huh? He feeds them. The psalmist says in Psalm 23 and verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As we make our way through life, we can count on the Lord to give us everything we needed to help us to grow in him. The shepherd leads his sheep to green pastures where they can feed and where they can grow. The Lord leads us through the green pastures of his word. Huh? And when our souls can feed on the bounty that are presented before us, God helps his sheep to feed upon his word. The word of God is our food, the Bible. The Bible says that he leads us in verse number 2 of Psalm 23. It says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Not only is the shepherd responsible for feeding his sheep, but he must lead them as well. Huh? Nowhere the shepherd leads his flock. In verse 2 and 4 of our text, he said that he leads us in the right path. Those who follow him will never be led astray. Verse number 4, he said he leads us with the right peace. Though danger abound on every hand, the sheep are safe in the presence of the shepherd. Then he leads us with the right protection. The shepherd knows how to protect his sheep, and he prevents anything from happening to his sheep. Then in verse 5 of Psalm 23, it says he leads us with the right provisions. Don't you know this morning that the Lord knows and he anticipates every need and always take care of his sheep? Hmm? He knows and he sees what's best for you and me. Then in verse 6 of Psalm 23 says that he leads us in the right place. When the journey has ended, the shepherd brings all of his sheep into the Father's fold. And we will see to it, he will see to it, that all of his lamb arrive safely home. That song that we sang this morning, when all of God's children get home. What manner of man is this morning who died upon the cross to set me free? What manner of man is this? There aren't enough adjectives in the collective vocabulary of humanity to eloquently describe Jesus and his glory. The best we can do is join in our voices with that Shunammite woman in the Songs of Solomon in Solomon 5 and the verse of number 16 when she declared together that he is altogether lovely. Hmm? You can sum it up. He's altogether lovely. If you need him this morning, I want you to know that he's still the stiller of storms. If you need him this morning, he's still the saver of souls. If you need him this morning, he is still the saint, the satisfier of the saints. If you need him this morning, he's still the shepherd of the sheep. Why not come to him and let him know what you need this morning? What manner of man is this? He's the only one qualified this morning to be an all-sufficient savior. He's the only one that supplies the strength for the weak. He's the only one that can seek to save. He's the only one that can heal the sick, to forgive the sinner, to discharge the debtor, to reward the diligent. He's the only one whose pathway is peace. He's the roadway of righteousness and mourning. He's also the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the fountain of living waters. He is the bread of life. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. The Bible says he's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. He's a friend that sticks closer to any brother. He is the Lamb of God. He is grace that is all sufficient. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You can't outlive him And you can't live without him. Death cannot handle him. The grave could not hold him. What manner of man is this that would die on Calvary's cross for you and for me? What manner of man is this that stood on Calvary one day and gave up the ghost because of you and me? Because you sinned, I sinned. The Lord died for you and for me. What manner of man is this that Jesus would die on the cross, huh? For you and for me. I don't know anyone that would do that for mankind, huh? But Jesus realized this morning, Northwest, that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. And so he went up to Calvary. He hung and died for you and for me. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Jesus this morning. Thank God that he walked upon this earth for 33 long years and then died for you and for me. He said in his word in John 14 and beginning at verse number 1, he told you and me to let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you will be also. Yes, way over in glory land, there is a home prepared for you and me. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. I hope you're prepared this morning to go home to be with him. What manner of man is this that gave up the ghost on Calvary? What manner of man that was sped upon? What manner of man that was whipped and beaten? What manner of man that said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But Jesus went on up to Calvary anyhow, and he died a cruel death. Yes, he did. It was a shame that they had to kill him. But I'm glad they did this morning. The reason why I'm glad, because of Jesus, we would not have a hope of eternal life today. Huh? Thank God for eternal life. Thank God for the saint this morning. Thank God that we are able to come to him and repent of our sin, asking God to forgive us. And one way to get right with God this morning is that you got to confess that you are a sinner. Huh? First of all, you got to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Once you've made that confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you go down in that water grave of baptism, back for the remission of sin. You rise up a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful day that would be. Huh? What a wonderful day that would be when all of God's children get home. We are God's family, Brother Malone. And one of these days, we're going to all gather home with him in glory. Huh? All the saints of God. What a day that would be when we all get home to be with Jesus. If this message is for you,